Hey everyone, welcome back to the 443 Security Simplified. I'm your host, Mark the Liberty, and joining me today is a deafening science because Corey is on a much-deserved vacation. To fill in though, we actually have one of my coworkers that I've worked with for quite some time here at WatchGuard, Mr. Matthew Terry, one of our QA engineers, where we'll have a fun segment on the topic of wireless security. But before that, let's go ahead and take care of some recent news. So today on the news, it is all my lonesome, so we don't get Corey making fun of me for saying, let's jump into the news. So let's jump into the news. There's one major topic I wanted to hit off today, and it's the latest of a big series of breaches, it feels like, and that is the Capital One breach. So last Monday, Capital One announced that they were the victim of a data breach affecting 100 million Americans and 6 million Canadians. Now, the majority of the data stolen was from applications for credit cards from individuals and businesses from 2005 through 2019. And it included things like names and addresses and phone numbers, self-reported income. For around 140,000 of those, it also included social security numbers, and a million Canadian social insurance numbers were stolen as well. Now, a Seattle woman was actually arrested in response to this attack. The court documents showed that she exploited a configuration vulnerability in a web application firewall to steal the data from a cloud computing company, a unnamed cloud computing company. It does just so happen to be that she used to work for Amazon AWS. Unrelated, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate, but probably. The reason I want to chat about this story is, first off, it is another breach in the never-ending series of breaches, and this one affecting quite a few people. 100 million Americans is another really sizable portion of the population. But there's a lot of really interesting stuff that went on behind the scenes of this breach. Now, first off, the individual was arrested after she posted evidence of her attack, basically dumps proving that she got into Capital One's network on her own personal GitHub account. If you're not familiar with GitHub, it's GitLab in this case. It's a really popular code repository for like uploading scripts that you write for your job or the source code for applications you develop. In this case, she had also uploaded her resume to it as well, which included like her name and address. Which made it really easy to tie the breach to her. She also went around bragging about the attack on different social media applications like Slack chat rooms on Twitter. I guess my main takeaway for that is, if you've just committed a felony, maybe don't go brag about it on the internet and post the evidence right next to your resume. When it comes to the people affected by this, though, Capital One will be reaching out to individuals to let you know if you were the victim of it. Basically, if you opened a Capital One credit card account in the last 14 years, you probably were a victim of it, though. They said they'll reach out through various means of communication. I'm assuming like through their app, their website. They'll probably email you as well. So keep an eye out for that. They're going to offer free identity protection as well to people that were affected, which is good. I'll add that to I'm probably up to like 6 or 7 years now of identity protection. I'm assuming it banks up. If not, I just have like 5 concurrent. I should probably go set that up anyway. Some pro tips, by the way, keep an eye out for phishing attacks around this. We've seen this time and time again where when there's a major breach, something like this or Equifax, because you are now expecting to see a message from Capital One, it makes it easy for an attacker to go send an email claiming they're from Capital One saying, oh, we need you to log into your account, follow this link, and enter your username and password, and we'll give you all the info you need. Just be mindful of that. If you come across anything fishy, Capital One actually already has a resource page with an FAQ and specifically with tips on how to spot phishing emails and what to do if you see one. Forward it to abuse@CapitalOne.com. Also, highly recommend you just pick up the phone and call the number on the back of your card if you have any questions, too. Just be mindful of potential phishing attacks. Sign up for whatever protection they give you for identity protection. And I don't know, unplug your computer and go cry in a corner because probably everyone's info in the world is now basically on the dark web. So that's my happy takeaway for this. With that, let's go ahead and jump into a fun segment we have with one of our QA engineers on the topic of wireless security. So joining me today is a very special guest, Mr. Matthew Terry, one of our QA engineers who's responsible for a lot of our wireless projects here at WatchGuard. I've known Matt for quite a while now. I think we started right around the same time, maybe like one or 2 years apart.
Yeah, somewhere around the same time. Yeah, about a year apart.
Yeah. So before we jump in, Matt, why don't you give us like a little bit of your background, like in tech and security and some of your time at WatchGuard and how you got to where you're at right now?
Sure, absolutely. So my name's Matthew Terry. I am QA engineer at WatchGuard Technologies, and just wanted to say hi to everybody out there listening. I started with the company almost 6 years ago now, I guess, and started with our support group, went through there, and now work with engineering. Before that, I didn't really have any jobs in tech, but I had just finished my master's degree in computer science, and I did a lot of work in that degree on security, computer security, networking security. Since joining WatchGuard, I have done a lot of things, especially with wireless, through support, supporting our AP projects for quite some time in the support department, and earning certifications like CWNA, CWSP, Certified Wireless Security Professional. And I have a lot of information about wireless, but I work mostly with our hardware products, whether it's fireboxes and access points. And I'm glad to be here today.
Awesome. Yeah, I remember you used to gobble up all the wireless cases back in the day too, which I was quite thankful for because that was not my forte. So you mentioned you went to school for computer science.
Yes.
I actually did not go to school until after acquiring this job, or at least didn't finish up. So I didn't really go through the traditional path. And I'm actually curious, like, was security like a decent focus in school, or are they finally starting to teach that now?
When I did my degree, it was not a huge focus, but really starting to gain at the university I went to, University of Illinois, they were really starting to gain a lot of interest and a lot of, they started offering a lot of classes with some security, computer security, network security. I think it's really picking up, and I'm really grateful for that. because it is a really important topic, not just, you know, universities that are spitting out programmers left and right, you know, other things are important.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring you onto the podcast today because you are one of like our folks that kind of leads the charge on wireless, or is at least a big advocate for wireless security within the company.
Absolutely.
You and I were actually having a chat about some wireless security topic. I can't remember now, which is how this all came up. I have a few questions I want to pitch at you.
Sure.
And we'll just see where that rolls now. So, I mean, the first question I want to ask is like, one that Corey and I kind of chat about a bit on the podcast, and one that I've talked to a lot of our customers about too. And it seems like, so the wireless industry really has been going through a pretty massive overhaul in just the last few years. Like, we saw WPA3 was standardized, what was it, last year? It all kind of meshes
together.
Early this
year, I think, yeah.
We started really focusing on like the naming conventions. It used to be 802.11ac, 802.11n,
right,
or whatever. Now we got like Wi-Fi 5, Wi-Fi 6.
Yeah.
Now with all of these updates that are going through with wireless, are there any like, have you seen any big updates on security recently, or does it seem to be focused on like other things?
A lot of the Wi-Fi 5, Wi-Fi 6 kind of enhancements really are around performance. Getting better throughput, getting better speeds, the ability to do things to connect more clients simultaneously rather than having only one client sending data at a time and then the AP sending data. There's a lot of enhancement in Wi-Fi around that specific kind of area, you know, that area. And security, while not necessarily being thrown to the curb, it's a little bit left behind. Yes, WPA3 came out. It's been tested, and it's a lot better than WPA2. It's still not perfect. We've seen in the news things like Dragon Blood. We've seen that it's not the end of the pinnacle of wireless security in Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and it only covers like the handshake setup for a encrypted connection in wireless. So that first little bit when you connect to a wireless network, how you exchange cryptographic keys securely. Mm-hmm. And Absolutely. That's it. It doesn't really protect you against a whole bunch of other wireless threats that we're going to jump into here in a bit.
Absolutely, that's right.
And that really seems to be like one of the issues the industry has right now is that, I mean, I totally understand people focusing on connectivity. Like, you need your wireless network to work. You need to be able to go to like an expo hall or a massive like stadium or something and be able to connect a bunch of devices, because that's just the world we live in right now.
Absolutely.
But it seems like all the improvements and all the focus is on that and not on like actual wireless security threats that can be prevented on the access point itself before it even gets to the rest of your network infrastructure.
Absolutely. You know, you're right. It's a lot of focus on performance because that's really what people are asking for. They want to be able to set it up and forget it, not have to worry about drops in throughput, not have to worry about clients disconnecting all the time. So the industry is really working hard on making that kind of improvement. But as a result, not a lot of thought gets put into security.
Which is weird, because we see things like it was the TJ Maxx breach, which was one of the biggest breaches of the time caused because of wireless security threats, really.
Absolutely.
You'd think that like people would at least pay some attention to it, but I guess you're right. Like, everyone's focusing on the connectivity, and they just kind of, I don't know if it's like they just aren't aware of the wireless threats or they don't care. I'm not sure. Do you have like any insight on that? Or
I think, yeah, you're right. My hunch is that it's a lot of lack of awareness. There's a lot of guesswork that once I'm connected to the network, I've entered in my pre-shared key, and it's a good pre-shared key because maybe it's random letters and numbers rather than simple passwords. Once I've done all of that, hey, I'm secure. Job done. But the truth about wireless is that there's a lot more to it. And even if my password is super secure, 32, 64 characters long or something like that, that doesn't mean that you're completely free from being hacked over wireless.
Yeah, so let's jump into that. Like, WatchGuard just launched, it was like last year, I think, something mm-hmm. we called the Trusted Wireless Environment Initiative. Are you familiar with that? You want to like cover that a bit?
Sure.
What exactly is that?
The Trusted Wireless Environment, to me, it's a campaign to get the word out that other than just connecting to wireless, there's a lot of different avenues for wireless threats to be on your network. Really simply, there's things like rogue access points. That's where anybody just takes some AP that they bought and plugs it into your network.
Which it happens.
Like, it happens.
Jimmy from accounting wants to hook up his Amazon Alexa.
Absolutely.
And like the wireless signal just isn't good enough in his office. So he goes and buys a Netgear from Target, plugs it into the wall. And if you don't have protections in place for that, suddenly anyone in the parking lot can connect to that access point that's now hardlined into your corporate network.
Right. A rogue access point doesn't necessarily mean it has to be from somebody malicious. It could be somebody from inside the company who wants to connect something like their Alexa or some other device, but is unable to connect to the regular networks because that device can't do captive portals.
Yep.
That device doesn't know how to do radius authentication. It needs a pre-shared key, and maybe the corporate network doesn't have that. The corporate Wi-Fi doesn't have that. So just go out and buy an AP, plug it in, put some simple password on it so that I can just type right into my phone as well, and off I go. But little as you know, somebody else may be able to crack that password pretty easily, especially if it's something simple.
Or even worse, like they just have an open network because they don't know
that
much about security. They
exactly
just want their
right,
Alexa to connect. That's pretty scary.
Even worse would be, yeah, you know what? Hey, I don't want this network to be secure because I'm just connecting my apps.
Yep.
Well, just because I'm only connecting my stuff doesn't mean that anybody else who can hear that signal could also connect their stuff.
Yeah. And so TWE covers six different threats. You mentioned rogue access points. Another big one that I think we really need to talk about are evil twins.
Absolutely. Evil twins are really where we get into the somebody is doing something malicious.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is an evil twin AP is where somebody has a device, an access point or a laptop that is broadcasting an SSID, a wireless network name that is the same name as your wireless network name.
Yep. And so you can see that like Starbucks. If you go to connect at Starbucks and there's two Starbucks networks, or maybe you're not even at Starbucks, and because you have previously connected to Starbucks free Wi-Fi, your phone remembers that and will connect to it, say, if you're in the middle of an RSA conference hall like we've may or may not have previously done as part of a study.
Just for scientific purposes,
exactly.
I'm sure, right?
I think Corey and I have chatted about that a few times, where at our booth at WatchGuard, we would deploy wireless networks that say like AT&T free Wi-Fi, Starbucks free Wi-Fi, GoGo in-flight, and we would get tons of people to connect to them. And now, obviously, we are a security company, so we gave them a free, secure access to the internet on that. But if we were a bad guy, we basically had a man in the middle on their network traffic going through that access point. And it's not entirely their fault. It's really their devices just betrayed them.
Right.
Like my phone remembers when I connect to a network, usually by default. And if it sees that network again, it's constantly checking. And if it sees that network again, it'll try and connect to it if it's got Wi-Fi enabled.
Not only is it looking for that network if it sees it available, a lot of devices are actively reaching out to try to connect to those networks by sending probe requests to just the open airspace saying, hey, is my home Wi-Fi in this room? That kind of thing is what really makes this evil twin attack horrible, because somebody who's just listening to the air and catching all these wireless frames could see, hey, there's a device over there that's looking for my home Wi-Fi. Well, how about I become my home Wi-Fi so that he can connect to me?
Scary stuff. So that's like two of them. There's four others. Is this trusted wireless environment thing like just WatchGuard? Is it like, what's our goal with it?
I think there's a goal beyond WatchGuard, really. A goal to get the industry, the Wi-Fi industry, interested and actively involved in making sure that these kind of Wi-Fi threats don't happen on networks.
Period. Of who the access
point. Regardless of if a WatchGuard access point, a Meraki, somebody else, it doesn't matter. We want everybody to be aware.
Yeah. And I mean, we've done a few things on that. I think we sent like Mr. Ryan Orsi, who's been on this podcast before, and one of our marketing folks down to DC to go basically lobby for it as well with one of Washington State's congressional representatives.
Absolutely, yeah. So there was a conference, I believe that was earlier this year,
mm-hmm.
Wi-Fi Now in Washington, D.C., where they went and helped lobby for better security in Wi-Fi.
Exactly. So,
and better security not just by saying you have to have longer passphrases, but better security as in protecting against these kinds of threats.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with that. And I mean, is that, I guess that's what we're all hoping to see on the TWE front, is just general awareness of these wireless security threats, because a lot of people just kind of ignore them, I think.
That's true, yeah. A lot of this gets ignored. A lot of it is stuff where corporations don't even know maybe if somebody plugged in an access point, because they don't have tools to be able to find out, hey, is that access point on my network or not?
Yep. So changing subjects a bit, I actually just got back from a retail tech conference this week where I spoke on the topic of security, but it wasn't a security conference, which was actually really enlightening hearing people talk about the Netgear or Asus they bought from Best Buy, and that was their router/firewall for their network. As I'm
right.
Saying, they're like, you're how many thousands of dollars a day you're transacting through this consumer route or whatever.
Ouch.
But one of the big topics that did come up in like our Q&A panel that I did on security was revolving around wireless. And it seems like there's a big push towards more wireless connectivity in retail stores. There's a bunch of like handheld scanners that go out there. You see so many stores with like iPads now as their point of sale system, yeah, which obviously connect wirelessly. Now, this is a bit of a baited question, but do you think that wireless access for things like payment card systems is just too dangerous, or like are there ways to make sure it remains secure? Like, do you have any tips around that, or what are your thoughts?
Well, yes, it is pretty dangerous, especially depending on how the network is set up, how that Wi-Fi network is set up. These, like you said, sometimes they might be one-off devices, handheld scanners or things that just have simple interfaces. They're only connecting to open, at the worst case, networks.
Oh, I'd hope not.
Hopefully not. Or something that just has a simple passphrase, mm-hmm, protecting the network.
But there are ways to protect it though, right? Like, hopefully, like some of the ones that do support like WPA authentication, you can use like a strong password, right? In order to add some security.
You can add some security, yes, by using better passphrases on your networks or by setting some kinds of default mechanisms in basic Wi-Fi that any product has to make sure that clients on this Wi-Fi network maybe aren't talking to each other.
Yeah, like client isolation, I think client is what it's called.
Client isolation, absolutely.
Also like basic best practices of if you do provide like a guest network for folks that come into your store or your organization or whatever.
Yeah,
like a lot of people
sure
do these days.
Those networks are isolated from each other. Those two networks should never talk to each other.
I think you actually get a massive big no-no for PCI DSS compliance if you have your guest network on the same network as your point of sale network.
I'm pretty sure it's on that checklist.
I bet that doesn't stop a lot of people though.
No, it doesn't stop a lot of people. And a lot of that, again, is behind just lack of awareness of perhaps the product you bought or some limitation of the product you bought, not being able to support some VLAN tagging or mm-hmm something like that.
So what do you think like the typical office environment looks like in like 5 years from now? Is everything going to be wireless? It feels like we're moving towards that, but you think we'll all be walking around with laptops and smartphones, kind of like we are now, but to a more extreme? Or is there going to continue to remain a wired network or some happy medium between them?
I think there's going to have to be some happy medium. In a lot of corporate networks these days, you've still got your main servers, which will probably remain wired. That's fine, because those servers are one-off. They're just a few of them, and they're doing the things like the authentication with Active Directory or LDAP or
probably
Radius.
Probably still running Windows Server 2003.
And hopefully not that old. But yeah, a lot of devices are going to be laptops, tablets, phones. To be honest, maybe the corporate workplace of the future is, instead of in an office, it's at home doing teleconferencing with people. But even then, a lot of that is going to use Wi-Fi technologies.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like there's still we need to make sure people are not forgetting security when it comes to wireless for the future too.
That's my hope.
Now, what do you think our goals? I think I heard from like Orsi, our goal for TWE is basically get a standard similar to like what you would see with like WPA 3 or Wi-Fi 6, where we've got connectivity figured out, we've got the cryptographic handshake figured out. Now we got to figure out a standard for security for the network as well. Is that something you're on board with too?
Yeah, if TWE eventually turned into some kind of a standard that other companies can go out to and develop against, that would be great. I don't think that WatchGuard needs to be the sole owner or sole controller of what is wireless security, what is trusted wireless environment. This kind of stuff needs to be out there in the world. It needs to be out there regardless of whether it's a WatchGuard product or not.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. And I think that just about wraps up my questions. Matt, thank you very much for popping down to say hi on this. I know I kind of jumped it on you last minute, so I appreciate you coming in.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. And we will see you around, hopefully, next year when TWE becomes a standard.
All right. I'll be there.
Cool. Thanks. Thank you, Matt. Hey, everyone. Thanks again for listening. As always, if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. If you have any questions on today's topics or suggestions for future episode topics, reach out to us on Twitter. I'm at XORRO underscore. Corey's at SecAdept or hashtag Hawaii Vacation. And the both of us are at hashtag the 443 podcast. We have a really fun episode coming for you next week where we will be recording almost live from Black Hat and DEF CON at Las Vegas. So stay tuned and we will see you next week.